Loyal listeners, if you ever wanted to get this show completely ad-free, you can do so by subscribing to our Patreon over at patreon.com/ndtechs. You will also receive 2 extra posts a week, and once the college football season gets rolling, some extended podcast episodes from Shane and I. Again, that can be done at patreon.com/ndtechs for just $1 a month, and come join new patrons Stephanie J, Winston P, Dan P, and Melty. Thank you all for your continued support.
Since we are the loyal sons,
hello and welcome to another episode of the HLS Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Ritter. You can call me ND Tex. And as always, you can subscribe to this podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us in Discord. That is our live chat channel, herloyalsons.com/discord. And make sure you go over to twitch.tv/herloyalsons, because next week is Sim Week. Give us a follow over there. And, of course, we're always at our home at herloyalsons.com. And with that said, I bring in Shane. Shane, how are you doing, bud?
I am good, man. I took some vacation. We have a long weekend starting today, so looking forward to it.
Oh, yep. That's beautiful. Well, as you can hear by my voice, folks, I am still playing a little bit hurt right now, trying to get through it. We'll see what happens here. You cannot see this because you're in an audio platform. But I have Mrs. Tex right here next to me, toasting y'all with a glass of wine right now. So she is, it's literally, she just tapped the microphone.
Salud.
There we go. That's beautiful audio work by all. This would be the time when I tease the special guest, and I would be introducing said special guest. So the idea was to have Jack Crosby from CBS Sports come on, also friend of the pod when we have bi-week, whatever those podcasts are. He warned me that he might not be able to make it, and he is not able to make it. That's for a very good reason, though. He is currently in the hospital awaiting the arrival of his first child. So I think we can cut him some slack on that one.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So what we will do is we will go ahead and cover some Notre Dame news, and we will talk as intelligently as we can about a team we don't know much about, and we'll go into the various reasons as to why that is, but we will do our level best to give as much of an in-depth preview as you can. If you are new to the show, we typically don't do your regular previews. That's why we have the sim. We will try to do brief notes here and there right before the sim takes off. So when we try to do that, when we do that, we'll give some brief notes, some news and notes to get you going. And then we are just going to go dive into the virtual reality of NCAA football 14 and have just a grand old time. But with that all being said, Shane, let's go ahead and hit some Notre Dame news. First, let's start with the bad. Marvis Leofau, I did not rank him in my top 25, and I feel like I've jinxed him, Shane. Because his impact will definitely not be there. And that is because he had yesterday in practice, we were recording this on a Thursday, so Wednesday practice, he suffered some kind of a lower body injury. Haven't gotten too many details at this time. But what we do know is that he will miss a quote-unquote extended period of time, significant amount of time. It depends on what article you were reading, but it's not something that is going to be, it sounds like a week, sounds like months as far as the timeline. Next time Brian Kelly hits the podium, we'll probably get a better idea. This outright sucks, Shane. I mean, was, you know, despite me having the blind spot that I had, was primed to be a very much an impact player. We got the linebacker depth, but still, it sucks to have this come right out of the gate. And when everything was so great and positive, we finally had something bad happen to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's the nature of the beast with college football, unfortunately, you know, especially fall camp. You know, everyone's kind of going full speed. And perhaps there's a compounded issue with, you know, the fact that this is really the first full fall camp that was cleanly executed since 2019, you know? But yeah, I mean, of course it sucks. Maris was definitely poised, like you said, to have an impact, to kind of rise up potentially this season, you know, elevate definitely the linebacking core. But, you know, I suppose if at any time it's going to happen, you would prefer for their careers it to happen earlier in the season than later. But, you know, really, we would wish that didn't happen at all, right?
Absolutely. So get well soon, Leofel. Hopefully you are back and ready to go. Wasn't planning on talking about coach succession, rather. I need to use a proper word. That's dangerous down here in Texas. You can get those mixed up real easy.
Accurate.
No joke. So about a month ago, or two, somewhere around there, it was basically before fall camp even happened. Apparently, on the Golf Channel, Brian Kelly sat down. It was a NBC sports series called Race and Sports, A Candid Conversation. And apparently BK was involved in this, I'm sure, because Notre Dame was very vocal when Black Lives Matter was going on. He very much was empowering his team to speak up if they felt the need, and they did. They ran with it. So I'm assuming that's part of why they had him on. I haven't been able to see the show because, one, I didn't know it was happening. Two, I didn't expect anything like this to come out of it. So basically what happened is he had a quote that started floating around the internet for a while, one of those quick little sound bites to where he was talking about Marcus Freeman, and he mentioned, my defensive coordinator is black, and he's going to be the next head coach. Of course, you hear that, oh, the next head coach of Notre Dame then. So that's been going around here on Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and read what Tom Loy of 24/7 Sports, he watched this. He put out the quote that had the context wrapped around it. And then we'll discuss this. But before we discuss, let's go ahead and have the full context here. If you just listen to how Steph Curry spoke, I mean, it's getting outside the comfort zone in hiring, right? I mean, hiring has been so many years of hiring with that old boy network and comfort. And he used the two most important words, get outside your comfort zone and hire with love and compassion and an understanding of these people are all going to be making others around them better. And we all talk about it in sports, right? You know, you want the player that makes the others around them better. Why not hire people that make the people around them better? This is not that hard. Let's get out of the way sometimes. To be thinking about color and hiring, it's just unacceptable for me. For someone that's been in this business for 31 years as a head coach, my director of football of operations is a woman, and she'll kick anybody's butt any day in every metric as it comes to doing the job in football. My defensive coordinator is black, and he's going to be the next head coach. So this is not about color or race. This is about the things that he just talked about. Steph talked about the most important things to be a CEO, and that's understanding how you make people around you better. Please, it's that simple. All right, so yeah. There you go. There's the full quote. I think he misspoke. I think he meant to say a instead of the.
Yeah, I think it could be that. It's really just a matter of like read the obvious content between the lines, right? Like he's talking about, you know, contextual like social issues that pertain to this particular member of his staff who has been brought up for discussion as a relevant example of what's being discussed at large in his entire quote. But when he says, you know, we got Marcus Freeman and he's going to be the next head coach, like, yeah, he might have meant a next head coach. But even if he says the next head coach, like, it's easy to extrapolate that he's either referring to his personal belief that Marcus Freeman is the next anointable person on his staff to a head coaching position somewhere in the sport, or he's kind of speaking colloquially about how we got Marcus Freeman and everybody won't shut the fuck up about the fact that he's going to be a head coach. Like, I think
here's the next head coach right here.
Right. That there's a way about Brian Kelly's, like, you know, now in what, year 11, that he's just kind of like, he's just kind of shooting from the hip a lot of the times and not so much worrying about, like, fuck, let me make sure I run this through a very keen and honed filter so nobody can take anything out of context. I think he's, like, way past giving a shit about the repercussions of kind of his turns of phrase. And I think in this example, like you said, like, he might have misspoken, but I think it's pretty fucking obvious. You know, the guy hasn't even actually coached a game at Notre Dame, that he's not talking about the Notre Dame head coaching position. And I think the fervor with which everybody was reacting to that, I mean, I was telling you pre-show, the Eric Hansen chat transcript is just like a shit show of people asking the same question over and over again. What do you think about Marcus Freeman being the next head coach? He's just like, he didn't say that. I don't think that's at all what we're getting at here.
Yeah, and it's going to be absolutely hilarious when the first questions likely lobbed to Brian Kelly on the podium won't be about Leofau and his horrid injury, but it'll probably be about this quote. Actually, the way BK is handling, because I think you're right, he is beyond giving a shit, and winning obviously helps. But as we've talked about before on this show, he's really comfortable in his own skin with the job. I mean, he's even out there, like, Pete Thamel walked in late to one of the press conferences. He walked in there. It's like, oh, no, Thamel, go ahead. Come in here whenever you want, big shot. They said, looking at him, it's like, you didn't think you were going to get shit for that?
Yeah, man.
Like, he does not. It's beautiful. He doesn't care. It was awesome. Yeah. I'm sure there was a lot of pearl clutching about that. He said shit on live Notre Dame YouTube. But yeah, I mean, he is just shooting from the hip. And look, I wouldn't doubt that part of the discussion of Marcus Freeman coming to Notre Dame was, hey, I don't want to be a defensive coordinator forever. I'm looking to launch my career. BK, tell me how you're going to do this better than LSU. And I doubt the conversation was, well, if you come here, you can have my job. I'll guarantee it. One, I don't think Freeman believed that worth a shit whatsoever. Nope. Notre Dame wouldn't sign off on that either. Like, as good as Freeman is, as great as he's been recruiting on the field, now you just can't take that risk, sight unseen, basically. You know, yeah, we got a guy from Cincinnati right now who's doing pretty good in the head coaching position, but that wasn't his first head coaching rodeo. So, could it happen? Maybe. I mean, especially with the way, you know, Freeman is, you know, just absolutely tearing things up and people just rave about him. And BK is actually letting him have media time, which he usually doesn't do for assistants at all. Mm-hmm. He's opened up Tommy Rees as well. I think part of that, at least my reading between the lines, is, hey, this is part of prepping you for the gig. I'm not going to hide you behind, you know, I won't just let it be me. You guys go answer some of these questions. He said that in pressers too. He's like, wait, yeah, you know, Freeman didn't answer this? Oh, okay. He knows more than me. I'll try.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those perfect week leading up to the season fucking accidental sound bites that, you know, oh, the blog posts are writing themselves. You know, it's just... It's
except
just an easy
HLS where I'm like,
yeah, I'm sorry, but like, we, you know, not to peek too hard behind the curtain or whatever, but it's not, we get paid to do this shit. So it's just like, there comes a certain maturity with understanding that, like, yeah, you could definitely get clicks for Marcus Freeman, next head coach in waiting, ? But that's like spam eBay listings, you know, like that just have keywords in the title that don't mean shit about what they're actually selling. It's just to get you to look at it. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's like, excuse me. I saw, like, there's this weird ad. Facebook is, God, it's a fucking nightmare there for a lot of reasons. But some of the ads that they serve are weird, and they're meant to catch your attention. And there's this one thing. It's like this, some random Chinese company I've never heard of. But it's like this facial stick that promises to, like, super vacuum the blackheads off of your skin. And part of how they do it is they zoom in after a quote unquote elapsed time, and all it is like chia seeds thrown all over the face. So it looks like they're just wiping off this massive amount of blood.
Yeah, it's just chia seeds. That's hilarious.
But yeah, I sat there and I watched it because I'm like, what the shit's going on there? And but that's, of course, yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's the train wreck, and you're like, oh, let me stop here and stare at it. So I didn't give it a click, but I definitely gave it my attention, which. And we're giving it attention here on the podcast and the show. It's not just to kill time. It's a topic of interest now out of nowhere.
Yeah, it could have. I mean, it bears at the very least clarifying, right? Because you don't want to be on the outside looking in and then just see a random tweet that mentions Marcus Freeman, next head coach in waiting. And then, you know, like a lot of us are wont to do, not click the article, not read shit, just assume, boom, headline told me everything I needed to know, and then move along. You know, that's not the way you want to go about, I think, looking at this situation, because I think that would absolutely sour the perspective. But at the same time, like, you got to know, you have to use common sense in a situation like this. And I think we would all be, just be doing ourselves a disservice to assume there's anything to this other than the fact that he misspoke.
I want BK to lean into it, though. Pretend it's what you meant to say. Like, throughout the whole season, it's like, you should ask Marcus that. I mean, he's the next guy anyway. Like, anytime he gets a question that he does not want to answer, he's just, fucking ask Marcus. I don't care.
I mean, I don't see why not. Go for it.
Oh, God, if he starts doing that with the Leofau injury, it's like, oh, well, Marcus got the defense, and he's the next head coach. Ask him about the injury.
I feel like at one point, if the season goes well enough, he may throw in a, why don't you ask the next head coach that question, and then just see what happens.
Next presser. Now's the time to do it before anything crazy starts happening. You can let it loose right now.
Hey, Lowell listeners, if you're looking for something just a little bit different in your Irish merch, why don't you head on over to the HLS store? You can reach it by going to herloyalsons.com/store. Check out all kinds of different designs for t-shirts, masks, children's apparel, sweatshirts, stickers, magnets, you name it. Our T Public stores probably have it. Again, head over to herloyalsons.com/store.
We're going to try to give you a preview of Florida State as best we can. Again, we were hoping to have Jack Crosby do this for us, a very, very avowed Florida State fan. But he is waiting to put that Florida State onesie on his poor child. I feel so bad for her already.
His poor baby is going to have to be associated with the Noles.
And a Yankees fan, too. I mean, it just sucks all the way around.
Ooh.
he's gonna eventually hear this. Dude, what the fuck?
Yeah, but also yikes.
Oh yeah. So anyways, the biggest headline for Florida State is Mackenzie Milton. And you know, you would think that Mackenzie Milton, you know, coming in, if you're a transfer QB, I mean, the Jack Cohn thing, right? We all expected Cohn was gonna get the starting job, otherwise why take in a transfer like that? The problem is, though, is Florida State hasn't named a starting quarterback yet. And I got, I mentioned before, I had the preview magazines. Only two of them have Mackenzie Milton starting. The one of them actually has last year's starting quarterback, Jordan Travis, the sophomore starting, who played for them last season. So it's really interesting, and it kind of feels like the game with Norvell right now that, hey, I got to use every single advantage I can against a team that's vastly superior in talent. So, and BK's done it before, so it's not like I'm throwing shade at Norvell for this move, and he's not the first head coach to do this, but I don't think he's going to name a quarterback until you see who's warming up on the field with the ones.
Yeah, I don't think it would make sense to, honestly. I mean, and that's not so much an indictment or an endorsement of either quarterback. It's just, I mean, we saw Jordan Travis last season, the few times that Florida State had something to show, at least in the first half of Miami, for example. Like, Jordan Travis, he's an athlete, he's got wheels, he's got an arm. Like, there's no question there. But, you know, he's competing with Mackenzie Milton, who, before his absolutely devastating leg injury, which I from my understanding, continues to linger and be a potential reason why this is still an open contest. Like, before that, he was fucking lighting up the world at UCF. Like, that was not a question. So, I mean, were it not for his circumstance, I'm sure it would possibly be easier to make it, you know, to play your hand and show your lean at this point in fall camp. But I think with all things considered, you know, there's so little known about this Florida State team that even Mike Norvell is kind of like at a loss, or at least has his hands tied in that he has to kind of extrapolate this all the way. Plus, it's the fucking Notre Dame treatment. Like, we've seen this before, right? Like, it's the, ooh, you know, let's see what we can kind of, what kind of gamesmanship we can give ourselves an edge with playing a, you know, a high, potentially high ranked and, you know, historically important opponent like Notre Dame. It's all the same gamesmanship bullshit. You know, the things you do to your team psychology, I think, to get them, you know, in the game and get them hype or whatever, while feeling confident in what you have. And but frankly, I mean, aside from what little we knew about Jordan Travis, like, assuming Mackenzie Milton is at least ready to go, I still don't know what to expect from that position, because who's to say what they're going to even be able to field at this point? I mean, it's just, there's so many unknowns about the team.
There are. And Eddie mentioned this on our picks podcast, is that, you know, Mackenzie Milton, he feels that, you know, he's not going to be right after the injury. He just won't be the same. I mean, that was a career threatening injury. It wasn't just like he barely banged his leg up. I mean, he fucking shattered that knee. It was real bad. So the fact he's even playing and going to be playing competitive Power 5 football is pretty fucking impressive all on its own. Also pretty brave to do so behind an offensive line that's a gigantic shrug emoji. I mean, yeah. that's really what it comes down to, is the offense, and the reason why they were 3-6 last season was the offense for Florida State was practically non-existent, and it was because their best part of the offense was the running game, but even then it wasn't that world-beating, and anytime they had to pass the ball, it was a disaster. Quarterback was on his back just getting lit up, which caused the turnovers. Here's interesting touchdown interception ratios for last season. Jordan Travis had 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Blackman, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Chuba Purdy, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception.
Wow.
That's a lot of shitty ratios there. And that's also, that's not just quarterbacks not being great. That's, you just don't have time. You're running for dear life. You're just trying to make something happen. When you force the ball, that's eventually what happens here. So You try to rebuild the line. They've been hitting the transfer portal on both sides of the ball real hard. They got a very young team, but still, you don't know if they have all the answers there, and if Mike Norvell getting to have really his team for the first time through an entire summer and spring program, if that's really going to help the O-line gel or not. I got to see that to actually believe it. Otherwise, that's what seems to be the most glaring weakness of this team right now that we know of for sure, is that line was just pure garbage. And I don't expect it to get better.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't, the line is really the big problem, like, in the relationship with the quarterback situation, because, you know, the quarterback being what it is, but it's really about the line, because, like you said, their strength was running the ball, right? But even like their I guess their top returning production running back would be, you know, Lawrence Toafili. That would be, I guess, the only remaining option to start. I mean, he averaged a fuck ton of yards last season, 9.6 yards per carry, and you know, he caught 12 passes or what have you. But you have to understand that we're talking about an offensive line whose only real anchor is a senior, right, Devontae Love Taylor. And just to recap what his 2020 looked like, the guy played 2 games at right tackle, 1 game at right guard, and then 4 more at left tackle. It just...
Somebody, you know, help. I mean, it's just desperation.
All he could do was be plugged into places. And I mean, aside from that, they have a redshirt freshman at center who, you know, as valuable as he may or may not be, the dude's 6'3", 270 pounds. Like, it's a small group. It's a young group. It's an inconsistent group. Assuming they've been able to churn what little they've had, or what you can call fall camp, into something productive, there's still no evidence for me to believe that the offensive line is going to be a reliable or consistent performing group that's going to give either Mackenzie Milton or Toafili, you know, enough opportunities to either be protected or enough holes to run through consistently and produce, especially, dude, not against Notre Dame's front seven, man. Like,
right.
That's going to be a shit show, I think.
And that's the problem. You're running right up the strength of Notre Dame's non-Kyle Hamilton options on defense. Like, that's just an absolute disaster. And when your top rusher last year was Jordan Travis, I mean, that's you can't have your QB be the leading rusher and really call that an effective running attack. That is your QB running for dear life, having enough misdirection to have a defense going one way while he slips the other. Like, good for him, but and that's where he hurt people with his feet. And that may be an actual reason why we don't know who the quarterback is right now, is because of the situation with the offensive line. And do you want Mackenzie Milton running for dear life? No. I mean, that's asking for disaster.
Oh, my God,
happen.
No.
If I'm Mackenzie Milton, I say no. Like, you know what?
Pass.
It's fine. I'll just sit here. I am not going to be a read option run for my life quarterback right now. That's just not going to work for me. And you mentioned Lawrence Toafili, I'm saying that
Toafili,
right.
Toafili, maybe. It's an ILI last name.
Yeah, so you have along with them is Jashawn Corbin, who's a sophomore from Texas A&M. So, again, your Phil Still actually has him in the top of his depth chart here. Other ones has Toafili. I mean, again, like the depth chart, there's no consensus on this, which is, you know, just absolutely insane. And yeah, Jashawn Corbin, so 2 out of 3 has the A&M transfer. So even with what they were able to put together, you got the national media like, I don't know who's going to be back there in the backfield, who's going to be the rushing attack here. That's not a great start for how you're going to attack Notre Dame. And then on the other side of the ball, I mean, we'll get into some more of the offense on Florida State, but looking big picture, is they ran a 4-2-5 defense. So they have a starting nickelback. Everybody remember what Nick Saban said about people that lined up against Notre Dame in a base nickel package and how dumb that was?
Don't do it.
So, again, on paper, it just looks like, well, you're running into a terrible mismatch here. So, thank you very much. We will go ahead and take advantage of that with Kyron Williams and company. And, you know, then we'll just go over the top with these wide receivers that are now fully healthy. And they lost their best defenders, including secondary help, to the NFL. As bad as Florida State was, they had a couple pieces of NFL talent. And one of them was Asante Samuel Jr., who's now gone. And he was an actual deadly defensive back. Now who steps up? I don't think there's anybody at that level that's going to do what Asante Samuel was able to do. And they also lost safety. I'm going to butcher this last name. Nazarildin, safety. So you lose two key defensive backs. It's like, hey, we're going to line up in the nickel, and your opening task is to stop one of the best rushing offenses in the nation. And, by the way, all the receivers are healthy now. Good luck.
Hey, yeah.
On paper alone, it looks like an absolute disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, and I mean, Florida State's what they've come to be associated with lately and in recent years, with what little stability they could possibly be accredited with, has been strong defensive backs, right? You know, a stout defensive end presence. So at least their rushing, their pass rush has usually been stout. And like you said, or like anyone can assume or recall in recent memory, good offensive line play. So scratch one off the list. Because good offensive line play is just question mark, question mark, question mark. Mm-hmm. Then you have the defensive end position, which they got help. And the same is true of the cornerback position, right? They got help in that they had to get transfers from the SEC. But when we're talking about defensive end, you know, yeah, they got Jermaine Johnson from Georgia. That's great. You know, he's probably going to be their impact player, if anything. But he's transferring into this Florida State 4-2-5 now, where it's definitely not what they run at Georgia. He's likely not going to have the same kinds of assignments that he's used to. And then on top of that, the only other help that he's going to have over the top that you can hopefully rely upon if Asante Samuel Jr. is not around is they got what, like Jamie Robinson from South Carolina. It's like they're the one side of the ball you can look at the roster and say, oh shit, look at that name. Oh shit, look at that name. That was a decent recruit. They're not even, they're all transfers. They've been in the program less than 6 months, you know?
There's talent. And that's the thing with Florida State that's interesting is there, and even when we were going over the scheduling preview and I was looking down Phil Steele's rankings, I'm like, damn, like a lot of these guys are actually talented. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, oh, well, Florida State got talent. Holy shit. It's just you didn't expect that based on what happened last season. But then once you start to peel it back, it's like, oh, but they're all transfers, which isn't bad. I mean, when you're trying to rebuild a program from basically being decimated by Jimbo and then whatever the fuck Willie Taggart did, like you have to do something to plug in the gaps. So I don't blame Norvell for going at it like this, but it does, like you said, they haven't been on the team that long. They're going to have to adjust to a new system. As you said earlier about Jermaine Johnson, you know, he's not used to being keyed on. He's probably going to be keyed on now.
And, oh, yeah.
And if you got a rushing attack of any kind, you can completely take one player out of the equation just by running it the opposite direction, doing a read option, or doing some kind of motion or something that makes him the whatever he does, we do the opposite of him. Mm-hmm. And now whatever advantage you had from that one player is completely gone. It reminds me of when I watched Notre Dame get trounced by Bama and what they did to Lewis Nix. Like, Nix didn't have a bad game, but he didn't go on the stat sheet. And the reason why was they went the fuck away from him. They didn't really pound it up the middle that much. They were going side to side. They were making sure that a double team one way, play the other direction. Like, they made sure he wasn't going to be a factor. And because Big Lou wasn't a factor, everybody else, it all started to fall apart from there. So that's the real problem for Florida State is that there's some good players here and there, but it's not a cohesive unit yet. And they could be a cohesive unit. Like you said earlier, Shane, lots of young talent. This could be a very good team a couple years from now, as long as Norvell can hold the ship together, which that's its whole other topic. But if he can, then maybe you got something. But I mean, to transition to that, I mean, you mentioned we were talking pre-show that I wasn't even aware of. They've already lost some people. Just mysteriously?
Yeah. So, I mean, to be clear up front, we're not talking about, like, you know, starters per se. We're not talking about, you know, seniors or shit like that. You know, like, we're talking about, like, redshirt sophomores, redshirt freshmen. But in the past 96 hours, two players on the defensive side of the ball have just up and, quote unquote, are no longer with the program. You know, you make of that what you will. That's usually the phrasing for some shit went down. We're not really okay talking about it. But you have defensive end Josh Griffiths. This was just a day ago. Yesterday was reported as being removed from the depth chart. Now, to be clear, he only played a few games. He only had four tackles, one for loss last season. So, again, nothing earth-shattering, but there's depth there being kind of plucked out of the equation. And then they also had a cornerback, Brandon Moore, leave the program, I think it was 3 days ago, 4 days ago. It's just, these are not examples being brought up just to be like, oh shit, man, Florida State's fucking reeling. It's going to be a fucking shit show. We're going to pace them, you know, pace the floor with them. It's more so to illustrate that, you know, this is a team that you can't help but get this surface sense that they don't really, they're not going to be as cohesive as you would want. There doesn't seem to be the unity, especially not knowing who your starting quarterback's going to be when it's a battle between the one guy that was around for the 8 games we played last season and this other guy who we've just been watching recover, struggled in the spring, got his footing in the spring game, and now we're not so sure. Like, you have to, you get a sense that, you know, if you're senior wide receiver Andrew Parchment, who's like their you know, their only returning, you know, receiver of note because Tamari Ontario was kicked off the team last season. If you're Andrew Parchment, you're probably looking around and be like, this is gonna be a rough one. You know, just Because I mean, what can you expect as a lead receiver in a situation like this? It's not meant to be inflammatory. It's easy to empathize with the situation where you look around and you say, I don't even know who, you know, I don't even know if my coach is not going to get COVID this fucking season. How about that shit? You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot going on. There's so many moving pieces, it feels like, for it to be this late in fall camp. You mean losing a couple guys, and then on top of that, you're not sure who starts. It speaks to, you know, a little bit of fragmentation, I think, amongst the units of the team.
Yeah, and Norvell, when he came on, because he mentioned the whole COVID thing, I remember things being a little bit spicy at the beginning of the season, and things didn't feel all bad. It was before he got COVID, but I remember he had I forget exactly what it was, but I remember he had some real hot takes about the entire situation and how it was going to go off. If I remember correctly, it was like almost he was insinuating like if anybody got COVID or something, they almost had to like tough it out, or it was something along those lines. From what I
classic coach speak, you know, yeah, you know,
that's kind of what it was. It's like this is all a distraction type stuff, like
right,
almost to the line of this isn't real, and then he fucking got it himself. To where he missed a game, and from what we remember, it was against Miami. So your biggest rivalry, you fuck up completely, and you don't get to do it. So great work there. So you have that. You have players leaving. You also have, you know, the gaps being filled in with transfers. It really there's a whole lot going on to where he's still trying to build his program, like mm-hmm. to have his guys. I mean. Think back many, many moons ago when Brian Kelly came and there was this whole thing with Teo and everybody else of the Weiss's guys and his guys. Mm-hmm. And it was in reference to something that happened with Teo. And Manti ended up being just fine, but things were contentious for a while with that program. I mean, yeah. I remember that being a big fucking deal in Notre Dame circles about what's this guy doing? Is he tearing the locker room apart? So now Norvell is at that crossroads too, and to have to come out the gate after your first year is the pandemic season, which just sucks to begin with. You are already going to have a rough draw rebuilding this program, so you have that happen, and now you got to come right out of the gate and take on Notre Dame, a team that waxed your ass last year, and it basically any time that they've faced you in recent history. So that's a tall order. That's really hard to try to build. You know, try to build the momentum of a program because after Notre Dame, they might be able to do it. They got Jacksonville State, Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse, and then they face North Carolina where they'll have a much, much, much tougher game. So they'll have a chance to maybe catch some footing, but I mean, they're kind of going all in on a bet here, just trying to hopefully make something happen. I mean, desperate teams can make crazy shit happen. I'm sure Tallahassee fans will be very excited to be in person at a super spreader event down in Florida. but beyond that, I just don't know what they're – I mean, they'll have a lot. I mean, Bobby Bowden just passed. I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotions and stuff. But I always feel like, especially – when it comes to kids that are of this age now, that kind of stuff doesn't mean much to them because that's before they were born. Like the Bobby Bowden era of Florida State, that's like if you really told, you know, half the roster how much of a shit they gave about Lou Holtz. Like there would be Notre Dame fans that would be mortified. It's like, do they even know who he is? It's like, these guys are young. They don't care. Like they grew up watching a Brian Kelly Irish. And there's your reality.
Yeah. Don't forget now, this group of students, their worldview, right? Think about what you thought about, the shit you gave a fuck about growing up as a kid when you were aware of people like Lou Holtz and Bobby Bowden.
I didn't even give a shit about college football.
Didn't even give a shit about the sport, much less what these guys do with their spare time, what the fuck they say, and definitely not what they believe. But dude, in 2021, you know, wokeness does not stop with adults fucking realizing the errors of their antiquated ways. Like it's ingrained in the youth of 2021. It is part of their identities to be informed, to be aware. And if you were to say the names Bobby Bowden and Lou Holtz, in a political context, you get two fucking ignorant assholes. That's the result. I mean, that's the perspective. So I don't think using something like Bobby Bowden is going to be like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, that's really going to get us going, because I'm pretty sure a big portion of that roster be like, oh, that Trump guy? Huh.
Yeah, yeah, he died. Yeah, not to dive. Oh, come on, political.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trying to reduce the man down to that. But that's probably the closest association. Yeah,
that's going to be their frame of reference, because the last time they saw him in a headline, it may have been that. Especially if they grew up in the area, they're like, okay, well, he used to coach. I guess he was a big deal, but means nothing to me. Right. And it's always hard to dissociate yourself from that, but. It is the truth. Like, I am like a sports historian. So when I started giving a shit about college football and giving a shit about Notre Dame, I then gave a shit about the legends of the sport when it came to Notre Dame. People like Lou Holtz, people like Ara Parseghian, people like Newt Rockne, like all the way the fuck back, because that's just my personality and that's who I am. But that came over time. Like, I had to be a part of that. You're telling a bunch of people that are very young, because it's a young team, and people that you plucked away from other schools who originally went to those other schools for some other reason. It may have been traditions and other stuff. And now you got to tell them, hey, really give a shit about this Bobby Bowden thing, which I think it's going to be great for the fans. I think that stadium will be absolutely torn up and loud as shit. It's going to be a heck of an environment to watch on TV. But beyond that, I mean... That's all I think it's going to matter. I feel we tend to put too much stock into these things.
Right.
I know it'll be a storyline, but I really don't think most of the players will care. I mean, it's a storyline, but it ain't going to make a difference. Look,
it's honestly, I hate to fucking pull the little bit of hubris that associates our fan base with, you know, national ire, but the fact that it's Notre Dame alone does the trick. You know what I mean? You don't really need to sell it beyond that. I'm sure 50 to 80% of that team just has a floating opinion about whether or not they like or respect Notre Dame. Whether or not they even know shit about it, somewhere in there, there's an association. They could be talking about 2014 for the past couple of weeks and, you know, we could do it again and blah, blah, blah. So long as we pay the refs and get that pick play, we're great. You know, just something to that effect. But
right.
I don't think they need to really dig deep in reasons to want to win this game. It's the fucking season opener. It's at home, you know, post-COVID season. Everyone's trying to get their shit together again. And Notre Dame is coming to town. What a beautiful scenario for us to engineer an upset. That's kind of the extent of what you can really hope to ingrain in their minds. They got bigger fucking fish to fry, though, man. Like, that's kind of the issue here, is worry about who's on the other side of the field when you got your shit in order, right? The only reason you should be looking at somebody else's plate is to make sure they have enough. But you need to make sure you ate too. You understand? Like, and if they don't know what they got going on, they can't be worrying about Notre Dame as much as I think the narratives can kind of like, we can trick ourselves into buying into reasons why shit could go wrong. And it's one of those scenarios and Bobby Bowden and all this shit. Like, I think this is not one of those years where it does you any good to extrapolate potential, you know, factors. It's really just who's on one side, who's on the other, and who has their shit together. That's really all this game is going to boil down to.
And who's got the more talented team, which, again, it's Notre Dame. So you may have, there may be a little bit of slop just because, hey, it is the first game. You're going on the road. You got a new quarterback. You got some people that are finally healthy for the first time in a long time out on the edge, you know, playing receiver. So hopefully we get Kevin Austin and Braden Lindsay at full speed. And then that time they work things out and then they start running away with it in the second half. That's kind of how I feel the game is going to go and going to approach. I think if we're talking about a bigger intangible factor, it's the fact everybody gets to play in front of fans for the first time in a fucking year. Yeah. Like, really get to play in front of fans. So, like, look, Jack Cohn has played in front of fans before, but it's been a while, especially one where there's national high stakes to it. Same with the rest of the Notre Dame roster. They played in front of crowds before, but it's been a fucking long time. And that's going to get everybody juice. And that's across the board. I mean, that's just not a Florida State thing to where, hey, we got the Sunday night game. We're the only show in town. That's going to be across the board. We are going to see some bonkers stuff, both this weekend and week zero and next weekend once we hit week one. Once everybody, I mean, there's, you can't stop that adrenaline. There's going to be juices flowing that these guys haven't felt in a long time. Holy shit, was that phrasing? And I threw myself off. But yeah, that's the, God. But yeah, that's oh yeah, that's going to be the bigger story, and it's going to take a week or two for people to get into that and get used to it. And Notre Dame will have the same feelings when they go face, you know, their home crowd for the first time in a while. You know, yeah. they're going to be able to, they'll have all those feelings and everything too that Florida State's going to be experiencing on the other side. So that, I think, might be an actual storyline, but that's the kind of stuff that settles down, I think, after a quarter or two at most, and then it just becomes mm-hmm. football at the end of the day. But yeah, I think we pretty much have talked ourselves into this really sucks for Florida State. I mean, maybe it was a sign Jack didn't want to show up, thought his baby was more important or something like that. Talking Florida State football.
Yeah, no, look, I'm sure people who have listened to the previous episodes are probably going to come for us a little bit on this where, you know, like just a couple weeks ago, you guys were ready to convince yourselves that every game was a coin flip and this had all the things. And like, yeah, because that's kind of what you do not knowing what you're looking at, right? Like not having enough content or at least a sense of fall camps or any of that stuff. But I think in having to, I mean, in being forced to research this fucking team, essentially, you kind of look up and down at Florida State and you go, oh, okay, well, good luck. God bless. You know, I hope you enjoy playing football this season, Florida State. Yeah. That's kind of really the sentiment because it doesn't feel like the two teams are anywhere near each other in terms of progression, in terms of the state of the program, in terms of that future outlook. Florida State, like I said, could be very, very good. They're very young. In a couple years, they may be even obnoxiously dangerous by season's end. Maybe the last 3 weeks, they'll have figured some shit out. And, you know, Mackenzie Milton will have, you know, reestablished his confidence and they'll hit a stride. But week one, yeah, man, this is going to be, it's going to be an experience for all of us. It's going to be uncomfortable as fuck, especially like you said, being in front of a crowd and a crowd at like one at Doak Campbell, which I lived across the street from that stadium for 2 years, like literally across
that stadium too.
And I was in that stadium in 2014. I've been to many, many Florida State losses in that stadium, but the one I gave a shit about, they happened to win. That shit is loud and it is obnoxious, especially the student section, which is right there at that back end zone. But I just think it's going to be so much of a growing experience. It's going to be so much like, you know, acclimating to chemistry for this Florida State team that I think Notre Dame, whether or not Florida State is keyed in on Kyren Williams, which seems to be their game plan, that's not really going to change shit because there's so many unknown X factors, like,
right.
I mean, real shit on this field that I don't think they're prepared for, that I think is at least eventually going to impose itself. I mean, it's going to be inevitable. You know, that's the sense I get. I've gone from doubt, maybe uncomfortable, to pretty confident that by the third quarter, it's going to be one of those where, you know, like you're looking for the next snack and, you know, taking bathroom breaks, not during commercials type deal, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, it should be a good time. And look, things have gotten more positive. The Vegas line went up. Like we saw it very early at 7.5. It's pushed up to 9 or 9.5 in a lot of books now. Even Bill C, is his underestimating Notre Dame ass and his formulas, pushed Notre Dame up to a whole 8 wins, baby. So, I mean, wow. The bit of we're feeling it. We're feeling it right now. And yeah. This isn't just blind optimism. I mean, we said like off the jump that when we were going over the schedule that Notre Dame's got more talent than the majority of teams that they're going to face. That's just the fact. You guess what? You cheer for a good football team now. Enjoy it. You're going to have some moments like go around and just start watching other college football games like Ohio State is what I pick on a lot because here's what a lot of Ohio State games end up like. Every now and then they run into one. You're like, oh. Somebody's going to get them. Man, they're, it was way too close in the first half. In the second half, they fucking run away with it. And that's the kind of team that Notre Dame has. Not everybody's going to be the Bama Clemson murder machine. It's just not going to happen. And even Bama will every now and then have Lane Kiffin come and pull their pants down for three quarters. You never know. Yeah. That's what happens.
Hey, man, Ohio State lost to Purdue, post. Come on. Let's not forget that.
Oh, you can never forget that. But, yeah, it's going to be great. I'm excited for the season to start. Excited to get the sim rocking next week. And a couple other notes real quick is we're going to have – recap shows. We're going to focus on the Notre Dame game. That's what's going to be in the podcast feed. But if you want a little bonus content, we'll give you about, like, I don't know, we'll figure out how long we're going to run, but we'll talk about what we liked from the college football week that was around the nation for, like, I don't know, 15, 30 minutes, however long we feel like going, over on the Patreon. So if you enjoy that, we want to make sure we focus on the Notre Dame stuff and keep that good. And if you want a little bonus content, just go toss in a single dollar a month over at patreon.com/indietex. You can get this ad-free and also get the extra bonus content. So I want to make sure we get that out there as well. But Shay, man, I'm ready to start getting in the full routine of things. Get my voice rested and healed, so I'm just ready to go.
Yeah, I can't think of a better way for us to start this particular season than to watch Notre Dame beat Florida State. You know, exercise kind of that whole any ideas of any doubts, and then hopefully hit the ground running for a fucking awesome season, man. I'm excited.
All right. Hell yeah. Let's get that done. Well, folks, until next time, thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe over to the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, wherever you happen to get your podcast feeds at. Make sure to come join us in Discord over at herloyalsons.com/Discord. Make sure you follow and subscribe over at twitch.tv/herloyalsons. And of course, you can always find us at herloyalsons.com. Until next time, y'all, go Irish, beat Seminoles. Have a good one.